Some churches just abuse God's grace and allow people to live however they want. But some churches go the other way. Some churches make a different mistake. Some churches will reduce Christianity to a list of man-made rules and traditions. From children's ministry to youth ministry, on into the adult ministry, some churches do not focus on the gospel. They simply focus on Christian do's and Christian don'ts. Most of the rules are solidly based on Scripture. But even then, if our primary focus as a church is rules and outward behavior, even if it's biblical rules, we miss the gospel. We miss the gospel if we only focus on rules. So my question to you this morning, Trinity Baptist, is, do you want to learn Jesus the right way? Do you want to learn Jesus the right way? Do you want to rise above a simple Christian list of do's and don'ts and learn the gospel? If you do, then I have a wonderful book for you. As we walk through the New Testament book by book this wonderful Christmas season, I can think of no better way to focus our Christmas celebration on Christ than to talk about the incredible book of Galatians. So would you please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians? And when you get there, pray with me. Would you take a few moments right now and pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart and truly speak to you through the book of Galatians? Would you take a few moments and pray for the other people in this room, that God would speak to them through the book of Galatians? Now would you please quickly just pray for me, that as best as humanly possible as I can, I would accurately represent what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You've got notes in your bulletin today. Please do not be nervous when you see the amount of notes. I promise you that you will be home in time for Christmas. I'm calling the key verse of Galatians, Galatians 2:16. If you want to write that down, you're welcome to. Key passages are Galatians 2:16-21, Galatians 3:21-22, and Galatians 4:3-6. That's 2:16-21, 3:21-22, and 4:3-6. You know, the internet is a blessing and a curse. Would you agree with that? The internet is a blessing and a curse. I've encountered many people that have Bible questions, theological questions, doctrinal questions, what church is right, what does the Bible really teach, etc., etc. And let me tell you what the biggest mistake people make. They come up with a theological question. Do they go here? No, they go to the internet. And they read pages and pages and pages of man's opinion. Now, that is not wrong. It is not wrong to go on the internet and read theological opinions. That's not a bad thing to do. But the problem that people do is they spend all their time on the internet reading everyone's opinion, and they do not go to the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, if you have a theological question, you should spend the majority of your time studying the Bible. That's where the answer is. And Paul wants to start the book of Galatians to say that the gospel that he is preaching, he did not get from man. And that's what I'm calling chapter 1. Chapter 1, you can see it on your notes, is Paul's gospel is God's, not man's. And let me walk you through it section by section. 1 through 5 is Paul's greeting. Paul's greeting. And we've got an example there. This is 1, 3, and 4 behind me on the screen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God the Father. Section number 2 is 6 through 9, and like most of Paul's letters, Paul is writing this because false teachers have come into the church, and Paul heard about it. False teachers came into the church, and Paul hears about it, so he writes Galatians. And the next three verses, Paul says, if anyone preaches a different gospel, let them be condemned. Next section is 10 through 12, and Paul says, Paul received his gospel from Christ, not from men. Next section, when God called Paul and revealed Christ to him, he did not consult with men. And then the final section of chapter 1, Paul gets acquainted with Peter and James. That's just a quick summary of chapter 1 for you. You absolutely need to read chapter 1 yourself, but that's just a quick summary. Brothers and sisters, do you want to know the gospel? Do you want to know the true gospel? Because there are multitudes of opinions about what the gospel really is. There are all kinds of different churches, and there are all kinds of different denominations. And a lot of us disagree about the gospel. Do you want to know the true gospel? Read Galatians. That's what it's for. You do not need to depend on man's opinion. You do not need to suffer in your home, at your computer, wondering which church to believe. You have the book of Galatians. You can read the book of Galatians, and Paul will teach you the true gospel. Let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 I'm calling Justification by Faith. Justification by faith. First section, right there in your notes, 2, 1 through 10, Paul's gospel validated by the Jerusalem church. After 14 years, Paul did go to Jerusalem to present his gospel to Peter and James and John and to say, hey, have I been running in vain? And the leaders there in Jerusalem said, no, we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship, meaning your gospel is true. Now, the next section, unfortunately, Paul opposes Peter. As I said before, false teachers came into the church, and even Peter and Barnabas became caught up or became distracted and started to do bad things, started to get away from the truth of the gospel. So Paul opposes Peter there in 11 through 14. And the next section is the main section of Galatians. The summary of the book of Galatians is in this next section, and it's there in your notes, number 3. We are justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. We are justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Paul called the false teachers the circumcision group. The circumcision group. And what happened is these guys came into the church telling the Gentile believers that they needed to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. Does a Gentile believer have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved? No. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, both Jew and Gentile. And that's what Paul was trying to teach them. I really want you to look at this section. So you're in Galatians. Please turn to chapter 2, verse 15, and let's take a look at the main section of Galatians. Verse 15. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. That's the key verse right there in the whole book. 16. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I once have destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. That's the key passage in all of Galatians. Trinity Baptist Church, I urge you this week, read this beautiful book on your own. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's a great, great verse. But what's so powerful about it is that is Paul's answer to do we have to keep the law of Moses or not. Trinity Baptist Church, you cannot be saved by simply living by religious rules. You must be born again. You must be born again. I love Galatians 2, verse 5, where Paul says this, "We did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour." Paul says he brought Titus into the church, and this group was saying to Titus, you have to be circumcised. If you want to be a Christian, you're a Gentile, you have to be circumcised. But Paul said, no, he doesn't. And he will not submit to that. Why did Paul stand firm in the midst of that controversy? Why did Paul stand firm for the truth of the gospel? It says it in this verse. Take a look behind me. Paul says, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Oh, how wonderful. Paul stood firm so that the Galatian church would have the gospel, that they would have the true gospel. And isn't that the job of every pastor? In 2017, what do you need? You need a pastor who will stand firm in the gospel so that it will remain with you. That's what you need. I am sad today, just like you are, to read Mike McLaughlin's letter of resignation. But you know what makes me really happy? We have sent Texas a gift. Mike's going to get an associate pastor job or a youth pastor job or a senior pastor job, and we discipled him in the gospel. And there's a church in Texas that's going to have the gospel. They're going to have the true biblical gospel from Mike. And what you need to make sure is that your pastor is always preaching the gospel. Why? So that it will remain with you. Every generation in this world needs a group of pastors that will stand firm in the gospel so that the church will remain in the gospel and so that the church can pass on the gospel to the next generation. Do you see? That's what Paul did. Paul stood firm in the gospel 2,000 years ago so that you and I could have it today. Do you want the gospel in your heart? Read the book of Galatians. It's a gift. It's a treasure. Don't let it stay on your shelf. Men have given their lives so that the gospel could remain with us. Don't let it stay on the shelf. Read the gospel. Read the book of Galatians. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, I'm calling, "We are Abraham's children by faith in Christ." You know that it was really big for the Jews back in Paul's time to be children of Abraham. And thanks to the book of Romans and Galatians, we know how to be children of Abraham. Let's take chapter 3 bit by bit. First section, 1 through 6, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by faith?" Let me ask you that question. Did the Galatian church receive the Holy Spirit by works or by faith? It was by faith. And that's how we receive him today. Next section is 7 through 9. "It is those who have faith that are children of Abraham." Next section is up to verse 14. "Christ redeemed us so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The next section, "The law does not nullify God's promise to Abraham and to Christ." Next section, verses 21 through 24, "The law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. And finally, we are children of God and Abraham's descendants through faith in Christ." Paul says to the Jews, "Do you want to be Abraham's children? Do you want to receive the blessing and promises of God? It doesn't come by law. It comes by faith." Chapter 4, slaves versus children. Slaves versus children. By the way, I want you to go home and read Galatians for yourself. Don't take my word for it on these summaries. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm simply summarizing a paragraph at a time. Now, you need to go home and read it and say, is that what that paragraph is really saying? Slaves versus children, first section. "We are slaves under the law, but now we are children through Christ." Next section. "Why are you going back to bondage again?" Paul is talking to them in chapter 4, and he said, "Why? Why would you go back? Why would you go backwards? You were under the law for a little while until faith came, until Christ came. You were a slave under the law. The law led you to Christ. You don't need to go back. Don't go backwards." And he says, why are you doing that? Next section, he says, I am in anguish. He calls it childbirth. I am in anguish until Christ is formed in you. And then the last section is the allegory of Hagar and Sarah. And he makes the point there. Hagar is the law. Sarah is faith and grace. Hagar is the old covenant. Sarah is the new covenant. Hagar is flesh. Sarah is promise. And I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that this section of Galatians 4:21-31 is an excellent example of why you need the Old Testament. Why you need the Old Testament. Paul writes Galatians assuming you and I know the Old Testament. You have to read the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. So this reminds us of the importance of that. Chapter 5 I call Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Let's take it section by section. In Christ, circumcision is meaningless. It's 1-6. Next section. A little heresy ruins the whole church. Paul says a little lump leavens the whole lump of dough. Next section. Do not use your freedom for sin, but serve one another in love. Next section. Walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. And the final section, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. You can do a very simple outline of most of Paul's letters, and it's very simply this. The first few chapters will be the gospel, and the last few chapters will be applying the gospel. The first few chapters will be the gospel, and the last few chapters will be applying the gospel. That is true of Galatians. It's true of Romans. We studied Romans 1 through 11. Romans is huge with the gospel. 1 through 11 is the gospel, and then 12 through 16 is the application. It's true of Galatians. Paul gives you the gospel, and then he shows you Christian behavior, which is a result of the gospel. And remember, in the beginning of my sermon, I said some churches just let you live however you want and don't hold you accountable for sin. But some churches will just give you the rules without the gospel. And it's as though those churches have taken Paul's letters and removed the first half and just give you the second half. And we can't do that, can we? We cannot do that. Trinity Baptist Church, we cannot teach Christian behavior until we have laid the foundation of the gospel. It's very important. I'll give you an example. Turn to chapter 5. We're in Galatians 5. Turn to chapter 5. And I'm going to show you a very, very famous portion of Scripture. Chapter 5, verse 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Great passage, amen? Great passage. But most children's Sunday school classes, most children's programs, most youth ministries will focus on Christian behavior. And we can't teach Christian behavior. We cannot teach Christian behavior apart from the awesome truth of the gospel found in chapters 2, 3, and 4. The gospel must be the foundation of everything we teach at Trinity. What about you personally? What about you? Are you daily feeding on the nourishing truth of the gospel found in the New Testament? Are you daily feeding your soul from the New Testament gospel? If you're not, let me tell you what happens. If you're not, even though you know salvation is by grace through faith, if you are not daily feeding your soul on the truth of the gospel, your approach to Christianity will begin to take on a works emphasis. You begin to focus on your own performance. And when you begin to focus on your own performance, you will get defeated and you will get discouraged because your focus is not on Jesus. Your focus is on you. Brothers and sisters, in order to succeed in the Christian life, your focus must always be on Christ. You must daily fill your mind and heart with what Christ has done for you. You must daily fill your mind and heart with what Christ has done for you. What Christ is doing for you and what Christ will do for you. You must fix your eyes on Jesus so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Chapter 6 is final encouragement. Final encouragement. First section is, you reap what you sow. Second section, not circumcision, but a new creation. Not circumcision, but a new creation. And finally, the last couple verses, the grace of the Lord be with you all. Brothers and sisters, our Christian education ministry at Trinity Baptist Church, the nursery, children's church, Sunday school, our youth programs, our adult Bible studies, and especially the pulpit must major on the gospel. Our Christian education program from children, youth, and adults must be focused on teaching the gospel, justification, redemption, adoption, sanctification, forgiveness, atonement, regeneration. We must constantly bathe our children with the gospel. You know, when you have little kids, what's something you always have to remind them to do? Take a bath. Take a bath. Little boys, I know, I was one a long time ago. We play outside in the mud and we don't take a bath. You've got to always tell the kids, take a bath, take a bath, take a bath, take a bath. Good parenting will bathe children in the gospel every day. They're going to need it. They're going to need it when they do what you and I do, And that's try to live for Jesus as adults. What about you? What about you? We're adults in this room. And you've probably never heard me say this before in the pulpit. But you know what I want you to do every day? I want you to shower. Can you do that for me? Shower every day. It's my advice to you. It's hygienic. It'll keep you healthy. It keeps off disease. Shower every day. But if you think I'm talking about a physical shower, you're wrong. You must preach the gospel to yourself every single day. And you can start by reading the book of Galatians. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, I give my sheep to you. I pray that they would go from this place and read slowly and carefully the book of Galatians, and I pray that the anointing that lives in their hearts would teach them the truth of the book of Galatians, that the gospel would be in their minds, the gospel would be in their hearts, and the gospel would be the center of everything they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.